I wouldn't be around long enough to enjoy my grandkids. Then a friend of mine told me about ChubFast.
Recent studies have determined that a few extra pounds can add years to your life. That's why we've created ChubFast. ChubFast is a shake made of 100% pure lard, guaranteed to make you gain weight and keep it on.
That's right, a shake of pure lard. Can you believe it? Drink one of these bad boys 3 times a day and you'll get fat fast.
ChubFast is available in 3 great flavors, bacon, bacon, and bacon.
Gain weight and feel great with ChubFast. Come on, kids. My heart.
ChubFast, available at your local grocery store next to the Crisco.
Other station props outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
We all enjoy going on vacation, but you enjoy reminding everyone at the office every 10 minutes that your vacation is just weeks, then days, then hours, then minutes away.
Yes, we're counting down to.
Why do you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, think the entire accounting department gives a flying rip about the precise time remaining before you leave for Cancun?
All-inclusive obnoxiousness.
We just pray you get sick.
Monsters, you
so the next time you're at a meeting and a guy says, I won't miss these meetings when I'm on vacation, give him a knowing nod, acknowledging that you can't wait for him to be gone either, because he's Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
What does that loser do around here anyway?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
It is Wednesday, April 7th. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam.
What are you eating over there?
Okay. I was one of those... I've been on like a bacon kick lately. Every morning...
I can relate. Okay.
Every morning I'm just craving like meat, bacon, eggs, right, and cheese. Some kind of...
Do you like it greasy or dried up?
I don't really eat it straight up anyway. I mean, I don't eat it that often, but... Mm. It's been kind of often lately.
Yeah, it's the best when
isn't
you just
it kind
get
of
it
comes
off.
In waves when it's like you're like, I want it, and then you're like, you're done. It's out of your system.
I don't know. That may happen to you, but
no,
I don't know.
Not for you.
You have an eyelash over here.
Oh, really?
On the other side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make it
and
laugh.
I'm not going to be able to stand looking at it because that's what I'm going to focus on.
Is it gone?
It's good. It's gone.
So, no, I love... I kind of want some version of like just the cheese and the meat all melted with the egg.
Right.
Wrapped up in some kind of wonderful concoction with a sauce
sounds,
or something.
Yeah, sounds like fast food to me.
It could be. It's better if it's not fast food because it's actually more flavorful. But no, this is like right across the street, Taco Bell.
Uh-huh.
And they have a breakfast menu and it's not that good.
Oh, actually. So at least you're having breakfast. It's not like a taco or
no,
or
it's a
bean
it's
burrito.
A, no, it's a breakfast. It's got like
morning.
It's got like eggs and
oh,
stuff.
I see. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But no,
so it's not that good.
It's okay. You want to bite?
No, not really. No, I don't eat this early in the morning. You know, I don't know. My body just can't take it.
I'm an eater. I have to get it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's better.
I feel better. Sometimes I don't because coffee suppresses your appetite. So sometimes I'll have coffee and I'll realize, oh, it's noon or 1 and I haven't eaten.
Yeah.
But I notice it's not as good versus if you just kind of eat all day.
Yeah, it's not healthy, but that's exactly what I do. You know, I don't eat until 1 or so. And, yeah, just coffee, you know, a couple of cups in the morning, and that's
Yeah,
it,
I know. It kind of robs your appetite, which you think would help you, but I don't think it helps.
No, plus I put sugar in my coffee also, so I'm sure that keeps me going for a while, too.
Oh, man.
It's not healthy. They tell you breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
I love it. I love breakfast. It kind of does set you up for success.
I guess it does, you know?
Because I pounded a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit yesterday. Oh, and it's good. I did it with no guilt either. I was like, yes, I will eat that.
Yeah. Now, how far do you have to run to burn all that off?
Probably, to be honest, probably a lot, but I just don't worry about it. I mean, I think if I wanted to see a certain kind of result, I would live like that, and there's seasons that I have for certain things, but it's not fun.
Yeah.
I think you should just kind of like, you know, take care of your body, and sometimes you got to trim it up here or trim it up there, and you know what to do. Like, you kind of know when it's too much.
Yeah.
Like, I know when I'm like today's probably my cutoff day. Like, this thing is probably the cutoff day, because it's been a couple days in a row.
Yeah.
And I've gone on a couple dates lately where we're having pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gourmet pizza, you know, good stuff. But I'm like...
You're going on dates and you're not telling us?
The thing is, now I brag all the time that I'm on a radio show, so I can't really talk about all my dates, because I'm always like, I'm on a radio show, I'm very successful, okay, and we're award-winning, and so just check it out, and then I'm like, oh, damn, I can't really, I can't be
but
airing
you can't go around dating without letting us know. I mean, that's
What does it mean? What does it mean? Okay, so my version of dating right now is I'm going out.
Yeah.
I'm having great conversation.
Yeah, so people are hanging around even though you're not giving it away. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird because that kind of makes it more of a turn on for guys.
Mm.
I mean, it takes a while for them to get the point that it's really not going to happen.
Wow.
But they just think it's like they think it's more just like a cat and mouse kind of like no.
Yeah.
No. You know, they think it's like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's like no, not really. Not going to happen. So no, it's complicated. I mean, you know, I've been pretty upfront about the fact that what I believe and how well I execute it sometimes do not line up.
Yeah.
They're not always in sync. And so definitely, you know, it's not easy for me either, you know. Like I mean, I want to have a lot of sex and all that good stuff.
Do it. Do it. God damn it, do it.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, you're missing out.
But it's kind of like I notice that guys find it like a turn on kind of, because it makes them wait. And so
do they tell you it's a turn on?
I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because
maybe it's a turn on just because they want you, not because you're letting them know you don't.
Who knows? But I kind of think for men, ultimately is what I think. God knows what he's doing. And so let me break it down. Guys are programmed. They just go for it. It's almost like it's not that they can't help it, but it's so instinctual. Mm-hmm. It's like so instinctual. They don't know how.
It's constantly on our minds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not that they really even want to do that. They just, it's what they go for. Like, I don't want to compare them to a dog, but I'm just going to say the instincts of, mm-hmm. you know, if you put something or anything in the, like a food or whatever, for men, it's like that. So, and of course, men are not animals. They're much more than that. But I'm just making the distinction or the comparison. So, but also what I've noticed is that men want to have to work for it. They really do want to feel like they've won a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this person is valuable and this person is worth something, and it's not everybody doesn't get to have a turn here. This isn't like everybody gets to experience this. So even though the man's going for it in his instinct, I think emotionally and spiritually he doesn't really want it right now. And so I mean, he does, but he doesn't. He likes it to be like, you know, no, a bit, because it makes him have to work harder, and he wants to fight for her.
Right, that's if he wants to work harder. I would just the door.
Well, I mean, then maybe she's just not worth it to you. Right. But let's say you met a really wonderful woman. Of course you did. You're married. But, you know, hypothetically, you meet a woman that just blows your mind. And she just...
Well, I would wait a couple dates maybe.
That's
you
it?
Know? Yeah.
Really?
I wouldn't be out the door. It's just that it usually happens, you know?
You and Dina, was it pretty quick or what?
It was love at first sight, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, so it was different, you know? But at the same time, I didn't have to chase it for so many weeks or months or
whatever. Oh, weeks? Oh, no.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait weeks.
Yeah, no.
We don't want to wait weeks. This one dude, he's a cool guy, and I'm just, he's, sometimes you just like people. Like, I don't really know how I feel about longevity, but right. I know that he's really fascinating, really cool person that's, you know, traveled a lot and brings a whole different personality and a different point of view on things. And
right. And how do you meet those people?
I mean, randomly. Like, you just run into
people.
Yeah,
they pick you up and stuff?
What does that mean, they pick me up? Like, I get the
car? I mean, they make the move?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a good conversationalist, so I can get the ball going. But I'm not really looking for that right now. I'm not looking for it, but I'm definitely, the green light's on. Like, the welcome sign is there, whatever that means.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's very complicated for me, too, because it's recreational, and I know that if I was really going to be with somebody that I'm going to marry, the stakes are a lot higher, and the standards are a lot higher. Mm-hmm. And if I were to be really honest, I mean, it's just so not common that I would meet the kind of guy that I would like to be with, married with.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I'm going to have fun in the meantime.
Yeah.
And I don't mean sexually, but I mean just going out and having fun. And I'm very upfront because I don't want a guy to feel taken advantage of. I'm like, look, I'm not here to, you know, take advantage of you, but this looks like it's probably going to go more in a friend direction and maybe some flirting or whatever, but it's probably not going to go down this path. Okay. I still want
to
go out.
So that's when you decide you like the guy, but not enough to try for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Pretty much. We just want to have fun, like recreational.
You're like eating and you're trying to talk at the same time. That's funny.
Sorry, guys. It's not that good. Anyway.
All right. So, okay, well, that's good. So at least, you know, you're being taken out and stuff. So that's cool.
It's fun.
You know?
It's fun. It's not like every day thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to talk about it, but I don't know if this person's listening. Oh, man. This is why I got to keep my mouth shut.
Okay, well, then don't.
I really want to tell you. I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, I have an issue with you.
Oh, you
and,
do?
Yeah, I need to bring it up.
What?
Okay.
I told you I'm sorry about being late. I was 30 minutes early the other day.
It's not 30 minutes.
I was in here 30 minutes earlier the other day.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you just sort of like spread it out and be here 10 minutes before
I know.
The show
I'm
today,
is that why you're
cool.
mad at me?
No, okay. Not at all. Yesterday you were on another show on the station, right?
Yes.
Okay, on the Damage Report.
Yes.
Right?
Did you listen?
And a part of it.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
Well, I happened to tune in at a part where I heard something from you that I didn't particularly like.
What did I say?
You said that I focused on your boobs too much, and you've had to cover up because of me.
I said this is a joke, but it's
true. It was not. It didn't sound like a joke at all.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, God, you know, this is like really offensive because
it's funny.
I try so hard not to.
You're sweet.
You know?
No, I was making a joke. Maybe it just didn't come off right because he was saying, oh, we're going to objectify you in a second. I said, oh, go for it. Sam does too every time.
Right.
You know.
That's the thing, the objectify part.
And it was a joke. It wasn't like I'm really upset about it. So, no, I didn't. I'm not.
So you don't feel I objectify you, do you?
Well, I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like it's tongue in cheek, like it's funny. And I think you've done a really good job at laying off of it. Like, you've really not gone there. You know, you haven't recently. It was more previous. I mean, like, today they're a little out. But, you know, it really hasn't been an issue recently. And I've just noticed, and it's not just a you thing. It's kind of like just people thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a personal responsibility I have to take, first of all, right? If I don't want to put it out there. But then there's another part of it where I've noticed with men that it's kind of like when you sexualize a woman, it like puts her in her place a bit, kind of like men want to control and dominate. And so when they feel like they're losing something or they feel threatened or something, they constantly kind of go to the sexual element. And it's not just like, oh, you and me are having a battle on a radio program. I've noticed it just in like weird situations in real life where a guy feels like maybe my personality is too strong or they feel threatened. And so they like, for example, I was in this business meeting working with the backup vocalist for this Persian artist, and they're not used to being around strong, I guess, dominant women or strong women. And I wasn't even discussing the money. I was just trying to solidify some times and dates that we were going to start rehearsing to get some straight answers. And it kind of threw them off because I was taking a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't talk about my boobs, but they went straight to the, honey, sweetie, what's the problem? And it was like, you're so beautiful, just relax, have fun. Mm. And it was like an interesting kind of the sexualizing you know, a woman in a way to kind of like shut her up.
Okay, so let's say that's a Middle Eastern type of a thing, but
why would you make?
You're making a blanket statement, you know, and you're saying that men try to control women by talking or objectifying them or you know, talking about sex and stuff. I don't think that could be further from the truth, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it has nothing to do with that, you know. I think it's just that men are impressed with beauty and with sexiness, and I think they let women know. Now, sometimes maybe they hope, oh, gee, if I let her know how I feel, I'm going to get laid. But that's not, I don't think that's what's behind. It has nothing to do with control.
Well, maybe not from you, and I don't think...
No, but I'm sure a lot of men are not like that.
But I've experienced it. I mean, I know I'm not the only woman that thinks this, too. Mm. And it may be just a subliminal thing. It may not be like a malicious intent where a guy's like, I'm going to just slap around now and call her sexy. I don't think it's that overt. I just think that when you experience it over and over and you see it, and I was making more of a joke about how it was brought up, because usually it was brought up like right after we had a heated discussion, and Kara's boobs. Right. And I thought it's kind of funny, but it was also kind of like, well, you know, kind of, it's almost like a, I'm not saying you're doing it with this intention, but it's almost kind of to discredit a bit. Mm-hmm. It can come across that way. And so I brought it up yesterday as a joke because they were talking about they're going to objectify me. Like, okay, now we're going to objectify her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, come on, it's fine. Me and Sam, we do it every day, 9 to 11. So it was more of a joke. It wasn't like, oh, I'm pissed, and let me tell you how I really feel. Do you think I'd really get on the air knowing you are on the station?
Yeah, you would.
No, do you think I'd really get on the air on the station knowing you own this radio station and being like, hey, I got a beef to pick with Sam. Hope he's not listening.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm sure there's truth to it. And if you felt that way, then...
Oh, no. I mean, I'm telling you...
If I made you feel that way, well, then I apologize.
Well, first of all, it was a joke. But no, okay. The truth in it is that I do see a trend with men that do this. And there's no hidden message here. I'm telling you what I think.
Right.
You're saying, I don't think it's that way. I think it's more just men are impressed with beauty. And I'm saying, well, I think it's kind of a subliminal thing sometimes that guys do. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, the reason you are on this show is because you have a strong personality and everything.
I know.
So it's sort of like you're trying to prove the exact opposite of what's happening, you know?
Really? What do you mean?
Yeah, because what I mean is if you're telling me that these other guys were talking to you like in a condescending way, you know, those Middle Eastern guys, then, you know, that's the exact opposite of what's happening here.
Oh, I know, Sam. Like, I'm not likening you to them.
Right.
Don't misunderstand. I'm just talking. You said you're making blanket statements. Well, yes, in a way I am. I'm talking in general terms.
Right.
Like, there's a tone that it takes on different forms. Like, for some people, it's flattery is a tool people use to kind of get a shoo-in. They use it as a way to soften some people. Some people, I've experienced this more with comedians where they go straight to the boob thing or whatever, and it's not because they're that turned on. It's because... it's almost like they want to discredit me and make me this bimbo. I've experienced that. I've experienced it in different forms. And so, yeah, it's not every single man, and not everybody's trying to do it as a malicious thing, but I do think it exists, and I've experienced it. And I know I'm not the only girl that has. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my point of even bringing it up wasn't to get that deep. It was more of a joke because they were like, and blah, 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 and we're going to objectify you next. I said, okay, I'm used to it. Let's do it. So that's what it was. So I'm glad you tuned in for the show, though.
Well, I didn't listen a lot, but I tuned into that part.
I thought you'd listen more after hearing that. Like, what else?
Well, no,
what
the
hell else is she
going to
say? What's she going to say? Let me hear her.
No, I didn't even know you were on the show until I, like, tuned in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. I mean, you could have told me you were going on the show just so I could listen or something.
No, I forgot.
Yeah?
I forgot. You know me. Like, I'm stumbling here. I got an email. I got an email the night before, and we weren't on the show the night before.
Right.
Or we weren't. That morning, we weren't on, and I got the email. Right. Here are the talking points. I was like, oh, shit.
So did you have fun? I mean, it's cool, huh? It's a fun show.
Well, here's the thing. They're very liberal, and which I'm cool with. I mean, it's L.A. Everybody's liberal in L.A. Yeah. It's just like, it's what you are,
you
know?
You're used to it, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that they were really cool. What I did feel was I didn't know if they knew I was conservative at first because they were making a lot of like Republican when the air wasn't on. They were making like Republican jokes and stuff.
Okay.
Nothing that offensive. Nothing I've never heard. But it wasn't anything bad. But it was awkward for a second because I was like, do they think I'm on their side and they're kind of letting their hair hang down right now? Or do they know I'm conservative and they just don't give a shit? Either way, I'm cool. I just want to make sure that it's not awkward.
Uh-huh. So So what happened? I mean,
so it was
so they realized you are a conservative.
Well, we brought up some talking points, and some of it was about the Nobel Peace Prize, and the one of the they have a correspondent who did a humorous article on what are conservatives going to say about the fact that he got the Nobel Peace Prize, and so he went into these really funny rants, like right. It's all speculative, funny stuff about, you know, trying to basically, you know, extremitize and bring humor to the conservative voice, and just like how they complain, and they're basically don't want to see Obama
right.
succeed. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, but I also see that it's like it doesn't really, I don't know, I feel like you know, it's not really going to the issue. It's mm-hmm. just making fun and jokes. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really, in my opinion, really want to go super deep on any of the topics. They just kind of wanted to rant and stuff. And it was cool, but they're funny. I mean, it was a fun show. I think, you know, he's got a great show going on. And mm-hmm. he's got I like that he has a panel because it brings a lot of different personalities and flavors to
right.
to it. His co-host, Jamie, she's so sweet and cool. Yeah. And then they had the this guy, I think his name's... Ivan? Is it Ivan?
I don't know.
I'm a loser. Sorry, my bad. He doesn't even remember my name, so I'm not going to stress out.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know who I am, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Really funny comedian on, too. So it was cool. I felt really honored to be a part of it and, you know, kind of felt my way around because I didn't want to be, you know, you and I, yeah. it's a total different vibe, and I get to go on for hours and be like, yeah, another thing, Sam, blah, 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 don't look at my boobs.
Yeah,
blah,
don't blah, objectify blah. Me.
Yeah, don't objectify me. Jesus loves you. You know, I get to do that. So I was like, okay, I'm a guest. I want to be respectful and kind of feel my way out.
Yeah.
So, but they were cool, very gracious people, and you know, I loved it. I had a great time.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, yeah. I'm glad you did because I love when people go on each other's shows all the time.
I bet I kind of felt you were probably like a proud dad or something. That's like, look at our kids playing.
Yeah, well, I did in a way, you know. Aww. It's just that I was surprised because I didn't realize.
I would have, you know, been like, Sam, tune in, but I, you know.
Yeah.
You know me.
Anyway, yeah.
You know
well, you know, yesterday I just like I was so fucking tired in the morning that I thought, you know, I got to go back to bed. There's no way I can go and talk for 2 hours now. So, you know, I mean, you know, I got to tell you that now that I have my own business, I can afford to do that. You know,
hey, you've worked hard, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for a long time, you know, had to get up in the morning every day for years and years and years. And now I'm in a position where if I feel, God, I don't feel like going in today, mm-hmm. I don't have to, you know?
Well, you earned it.
Yeah, I mean,
you
yeah,
earned
for
it.
Many
Did
years
you guys get that, listener? So if we're not here, Sam earned it.
It's Sam, yeah, that's right.
Or I slept in. But that's only happened like once or twice. But no, Sam, you know, listen, get your rest, man.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. You're right. That's a good way
to
put it.
I don't sleep enough, you know? I mean, I work till like midnight.
If this is kind of like the that makes a lot of sense. People that have labored hard, that have put in the time and the grunt work, and they've really done the 9-to-5 their whole life, and they've worked hard to get to this place where you
yeah.
own it, and you're getting to see the fruit of your labor, and really, 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 you know, nursing and nurturing it. I mean, because you do like a million jobs here.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that I started the show because I just wanted to have fun, you know, and so that's why I do it. You know, if I feel that one morning, I'm not going to have fun because I'm so fucking tired that I'm just not going to do it, you know? What the hell? And you benefit from this. You get, like, surprise days off.
Well, it's funny because I woke up yesterday and I was dead to the world. I had a rough, where was I? I don't know, but I had wine involved.
Oh,
and I woke
okay.
up the next, oh no, Cosmos. I had 3 Cosmos. We went to the Persian meeting to talk about business, and they yeah. liquored us up and fed us. And I was like, hi guys, hey, so
how are you going to do a business deal like that?
You know, but I had 3 Cosmos and a glass of wine. I was having a great time. But I woke up and it was one of those, ooh, not today, not yeah. today. And it's so funny because then you texted me saying you were going to cancel the show. But then guess who's wide awake?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, go. But, you know, I had stuff to do, so it was good. Apparently, I was going to be on another show that I was like, oh, I can't sleep in because I got to make sure I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
that's
yeah.
funny.
I think it's hysterical. I love that you called me out. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that you're like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you across from me.
Of course I will, you know. And then I thought, what else did she say that I didn't hear?
No,
you know?
Go back and listen to it. That's
I
it.
Will.
I didn't really talk that much, actually.
Yeah. You didn't?
No, because first of all, there was 1, 2, 3.
Four.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
good
4
math.
People.
Good. Yeah.
Still haven't figured out we got 4 mics in here.
I took a second. Anyway. You know, I'm a guest. I'm trying to, you know, find my way with it, and I don't want to be like the loud mouth and dominate and all that stuff when it's not my show. So I was really trying to be respectful, and you know, but they were really cool, and I like what they got going on, and it's a fun show. I mean, they're entertaining people, and they brought up some cool topics.
Yeah.
We talked about sex addiction. Like, is it really an addiction?
Yeah, I was listening to that.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, you know, I go back to the definition, and that is an addiction is something that ruins your life. It destroys your life, you know, because think about it. You know, like someone can drink socially and not, you know, and not let it destroy their lives. You know, it doesn't interfere in stuff. In that case, I don't think they have a problem. You know, that's not an addiction. An addiction is when you're so preoccupied with it all the time. And it ends up ruining your life because you put so much attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might end up in divorce or in jail or, you know, whatever, you know. So, or death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to sex addiction, I do think that it can be, you know, it can be an addiction because, you know, although it's tempting to say, well, all men are like that. But the fact is that they're not, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love sex very much, and I would love to have sex with different women, but I don't because I can control myself, you know? It's not something that I can't help, you know? So, and that's what you guys were talking about, you know?
Yeah, and she was saying, Jamie was saying, and I have to agree with her, that it's become a chic thing that once guys get caught in these infidelity and adulterous relationships, all of a sudden they go check into rehab because they're in the public eye and they've got a sex addiction. And it's almost the idea to soften the responsibility and to not. And she's really talking more about it's become chic and that people are evading responsibility, and she called it a moral bankruptcy, great term, and that it's really sad because basically you know, it's for people that do have addiction, it could be like an FU to people that are really struggling with it. And in the public eye, basically, it's just another one of the things that we do in our society to just avoid responsibility.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I mean, I definitely see some validity in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Checking into a rehab facility for sex addiction and. And I don't know all the things that go along with it. I'm assuming, like you said, it does destroy your life, and it takes you to a place where you don't have control over it. It has control over you. And I think, like Hugh Grant, do you remember when he was caught with the hooker and it's just a lot of different people with that. I watched something.
What was her name? Divine or something?
Some crazy. Yeah. It was like have a good time. It was like, hey, this over here, you get what you pay
God,
for.
Man.
You get what you pay
she
for.
She was skanky too.
But I've heard because I was men that seek out prostitutes. I saw something on like A&E or like a documentary, and the guys they're being filmed with the camera in the car, and they're expressing what they think and what they feel while they're about to do this. And a lot of it is the risk that they could get caught.
Really?
They like the fact that it's illegal. They like trolling around looking for. The next girl that they're gonna pick up, and they like the hunt and just the whole seedy factor, the fact that it is like quote unquote the forbidden fruit basically,
right.
And it's not that it's good for them. I mean, you don't know physically what can they catch, you know.
Yeah.
Well, first it's illegal, you know. Then there's the physical risk involved. It's very dangerous, just because that lifestyle is dangerous. You never know.
Yeah.
And but really, it's the high risk, high stake thing that I think. Is it that they have to have sex? Is that really what they're addicted to? It's something behind it. But I think sex is the.
Usually with addiction, that's the case. You know, I mean, there's other stuff that you're trying to cover up with the with the drugs or whatever
you're
doing. You know.
Yeah. And I think that it goes a lot deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I'm like, well, what am I addicted to? What are we all addicted to?
Yeah. I don't know.
I got stuff.
Yeah. If you have something that's really interfering with your life, it's probably an addiction, you know? Okay, well, enough about that. We're going to call our guest. We're going to call a lady called Susan Powder. Let me just bring this up. And she's a health and wellness expert, and we're going to talk to her There's sort of a theme here, huh? When we were talking about weight and stuff and eating. Yeah.
Don't tell her I'm
earlier
eating,
this
okay.
week. Don't tell her what?
No, I'm eating a Taco Bell breakfast burrito.
Oh, okay. She'll figure it out. Trust me.
Okay. Don't tell her.
What'd they do? Why'd they just? I pressed a zero here where I shouldn't. All right. So Susan Powder, and she apparently lost a lot of weight. So let's find out what's going on there. Sometimes I have him call in. Sometimes we call
Hello?
Him, you know. Good morning, Susan. It's Sam and Kara calling you from LA Talk Radio.
Hello.
How are you, Sam and who?
And Kara.
I'm Kara. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm good. How are
you? You see, we've done our research. You haven't.
I am very well. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Susan, where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
Seattle.
Seattle, Washington. We had a guest from
Seattle, Washington. Beautiful place.
Wonderful.
That's
yeah.
a place that'd make me eat. I'm not gonna lie.
They do have a lot of food.
It's the kind of place. Say it again. We seem to have a delay, which is very unusual.
It does seem like that, huh?
I said that's a state that would probably drive me to eat.
And because of weather.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a joke, but a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been there actually. What do you think?
Yeah, no, so I was going to say that a prerequisite for a joke is that it has to be funny.
Well, and you're laughing, thank you.
Yeah, she's laughing at you, not with you.
Either way, the laugh came out. I don't care if I don't, I'll still take credit for it, even if it was like the flip side.
You'll take the joke, it's cool. Yeah. So what are we talking about?
Okay, well, what we wanted to find out is a little bit about what you do. You're a health and wellness expert, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I think we do have a little delay here. But at any rate, we'll try and make do with what we have. You claim to have lost 130 pounds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, Stop the Insanity was huge. It was the truth. It was the story of having lost. Hello?
Yes. We're here. What happened? Okay, she's got a bad connection. I think this is a cell phone. Let's try it again.
Maybe she should call in.
It's the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe this is a better line. Let's hope so. See, cell phones are not good on the radio.
Mm-mm.
Maybe it's not even ringing for her now. Come on, my dear.
I'm too busy doing the dishes. I can't come to the phone. But look.
That's funny.
That's a good one, huh?
I like
That's
that.
A great announcement.
Too busy doing dishes. I hear you.
Yeah. Let's try again. Maybe she's trying to call us. I don't know. But there's got obviously something with her cell phone there. Susan Powder.
Hello?
Yes, Susan. Can you hear us well?
Yeah, we just got totally disconnected.
Well, no, I disconnected you because we couldn't hear you anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's very strange. We seem to have a problem with the...
Yeah, it's like... Are you on a cell phone?
I'm always on a cell phone.
Yeah, okay. I can imagine. Well, let's try to continue with what we have. So, so you must have weighed a lot to lose 130 pounds. I mean, I'm looking at your picture now, and you look pretty hot. And so I would imagine that was like way over 200 pounds.
No, I was 260 pounds.
200.
Yeah, the story of Stuffy and Sat. Yeah, 260 pounds, and I lost 133 pounds, and it's been 20 years since then.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And you've been able to maintain. Well, that's pretty cool. So, how? I mean, obviously, it begs the question: how did you do it? Okay, it's not going to happen. All right, she just got disconnected. Well, you know what?
I recognize her. I see her. She's got the shaved head.
Shaved head? Really?
Really? Isn't this her?
I don't have a picture of a shaved head, but I think there are some tattoos there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, she's kind of... I think I've seen her on several different shows.
Yeah.
She's kind of buff, I think, right?
Yeah, she looks. Yeah, she looks like she has a great body, you know.
Yeah, way to go, Susan.
So I don't know, but
love to hear the story sometime. Maybe it won't happen today, but I bet it was phenomenal and awesome for you. And we will talk with you hopefully soon.
Yeah.
She does look good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Let me try and
try her again.
Dial
She's
her
a little
again.
Firecracker.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel bad, you know, but cell phones sometimes don't work well.
I'm too busy doing the dishes. I can't come to the phone.
Okay, me too. All right. Well, we're gonna maybe we'll try her later. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll give her a try later.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 9423-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out my life. 'Cause it ain't every one that I've been playing. Something isn't right. Cause if what you do is a good thing,
Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
So did you hear that Jim Carrey and his wife are splitting up?
He's not married.
Oh, they're not married?
You talking about what's-her-face? Jenny McCarthy?
Jenny McCarthy. They're not married.
They're not married? So I mean, they're not married, but they're splitting up?
They're splitting up.
What the F?
After 5 years.
I had a lot of hope for them, too.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people did.
They seem like a really good fit.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I don't know what happened. You know, I mean, go figure, you know? And she's been doing a lot of work for
autism.
You know, her son is...
He was on an interview with Chelsea Handler, and he... is I personally really love him a lot, even though he doesn't love me back.
Oh.
And he was just talking about how wonderful she is as a mother and a woman, and he really praised her. And then he talked about how much he loved her son, and that he goes, you know, really children's what you need in life, so you don't freaking, you know, pull the trigger on the gun and shoot yourself. It was so funny the way he did that. Just basically finding life outside of yourself. And I thought that was really profound. And it sounded like he had really found some missing links that he needed in his life. Mm. In that, I mean, again, it's an interview. I don't know. I'm not really a fly on the wall when they're fighting over who's going to do the dishes and stuff like that. But
You never know what goes on behind closed doors, you know. I mean, people are just, you know, and people thought they would last a long time, you know, because it did seem to be a sort of a genuine relationship.
Mm. It did. 5 years is a long go. That's like, what, 100 years in Hollywood, isn't it? Isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
100 years in Hollywood, 5 year relationship.
Yeah.
Some of the longest ones in Hollywood are the ones that haven't got married, like, what is it, Tim Robbins and
And Susan Sarandon.
Are they still together?
And then Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, right?
Goldie Hawn, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe in marriage, but it's just interesting, you know, how it goes there.
Yeah, and there you go. I mean, it does seem to last, you know. They don't have to be married in order for it to last a lifetime, you know. And
you
they're
know,
showing that it's working.
There you go. Well, I think, because I think marriage is deeper than the word. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. It's a vow to that person, and ultimately, I believe, to God. But, yeah. How many years have you been married?
This time?
Yeah.
5 years.
And does it feel five? Does it feel longer? Does it feel shorter?
It feels like 5 years.
Feels like 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't seem like it's been a long time. You know, I mean, you know, all in all, in the scheme of things,
you guys,
it's not a lot.
5 years, and Sam will not fart in front of his wife.
Yeah.
And I respect you. I mean, you're like one in a million of guys that would do that.
Really?
I know it's not sexy. I mean, who wants to sit around doing that? But I mean, just the fact that you're like, you know, holding it in and feeling sick and stuff. And, and she's never accidentally slipped one.
Well, maybe I did, you know, but I don't know.
No, has she ever ripped one?
Not one that I've heard.
No?
No.
That's funny. Has she ever walked in on you, like, doing some manscaping down there or anything like that?
No.
No?
No.
You're not, hey, hold on, I'm giving my balls a buzz cut. Hold
no.
on.
I don't do it in public.
I'm talking about, like, she just walks in your bathroom and you're there. You know,
I close the door. Yeah. You know, I like privacy.
That's so gross. I just like the way, give your balls a buzz cut. I just like the way that sounds.
No, I'm going to give my head a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think the color's good, man.
Do you? Okay, well, I'm just going to get a cut tomorrow, you know, shorter.
Mm-hmm.
But, or the normal length that I usually get.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, I guess when you get used to it, it's kind of okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not used to it yet.
I've had I had my hair, there's like a hairstyle, the whole like Friends back in the 90s, I had my hair cut, try to have it like cut like one of those girls. And I was a chunky little girl at the time, and I didn't understand, you know, if you've got like a chunky round face to not get a short haircut. So like I look like them, so not look like them. Give me that Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston. So the freaking lady cuts it like right underneath my ears, and you know I already have. I mean even when I'm in shape, I've got like you know I got some cheeks. I'm rocking some cheeks, you know. Everything on me is pretty full, basically. It's like to the max. And so she gives me this haircut, and I just look like these two big-ass cheeks on a neck.
Mm.
And I look like I got a mushroom. Like, it just looks like one big mushroom haircut.
Mm.
And I remember walking in the mall because I got my haircut, and I was, like, crying.
Really?
And I was like, I look like a fat girl with a fat
gross, ugly haircut.
Yeah.
My haircut's fat. My cheeks are fat. I feel fat. It was like false average. Like, because you don't realize, oh, I'm not Courtney Cox. I'm not Jennifer Aniston. I don't look like those girls. This isn't going to look good on me.
Yeah.
And
they still have long hair.
No, they have long. Long hair is just beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I think it is.
Yeah, on a woman, definitely.
Yeah.
You know.
Or it doesn't have to be super long, but just some length.
Yeah, exactly. To, you know, it's feminine.
Yeah, I like
what it. What I realize is, as women get older, they chop it off, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes them look even older.
It does, because I think what happens, and I have friends that have done this, it's that practical comes first, and women feel so stretched, and they feel so to. Like, they have so many responsibilities that they have to let some things go, and so it inevitably becomes their looks.
Right.
And they basically, the hair's up in a ponytail, or they chop it off, the makeup's not on, and my heart goes out to them, because it is hard. I don't know what it's like to have to manage all these things. I'm a little bit of a bum, so, you know, I do a lot of time on my hair and stuff.
Right, which is good. So,
yeah.
I mean, did you ever weigh a lot more than you do now?
At one point, I weighed 40 pounds more, which is
really?
Quite a lot.
Wow.
But that was only one time in my life. I was in a relationship in Texas before I moved here. And, you know, they say you get when you're happy, you get fat.
No, when you're in a relationship, you get fat.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I always say that.
Yeah, you know why? Because then you don't care anymore. You know, you're not
active. Yeah,
out
I kind of, we just, kinda, first of all, we just weren't active. I mean, we stayed in, we watched movies, and we ate all the time. And I was a runner before that, but I just stopped running, and we would eat. And then he's like a big guy, and for some reason, I thought I should eat the same amount he did because it was fun. And I'm like, yeah, more ice cream. Feed me 10 pieces of pizza. Yeah, you know, like. I don't do that now.
Uh-huh.
Now I'll just fluctuate 10 or 15 pounds, but usually it's around, you know, 5 to 10 pounds somewhere.
Yeah. So it's a constant struggle.
I don't really say struggle, because struggle implies that I'm trying to be somewhere I'm not. For me, it's just maintenance.
Mm.
Like, I like the way I look. I like my body.
Yeah.
I like the way I'm built.
That's good. That's good.
And I just want to keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes if I do too many, like, you know, cravings for bacon, cheese, and eggs in some kind of capacity, and if that's what all I eat, well, then I know, you know, I might have a few hard weeks of working out and tightening up my diet. It's just balance. And I think it takes time to kind of learn. For me, I don't want to eat rigidly. I want to have freedom, and I want to eat.
Yeah, you don't want to deny yourself.
I don't want to. I mean, if I get hired for a role and I need to be a certain size, well, then I'm being paid. I totally will.
Right.
But as far as my lifestyle goes, and I think this goes for even a lot of celebrities and stars, unless they're filming something or on tour, they want to ease up a bit. They want to go out and get. They want to go out to eat, and they want to have the appetizer and the dessert.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, have fun, and they want to have the drinks and stuff, and they don't want to have to. You know, live by that. I think life is about enjoyment. And what I don't like about the LA mentality is that it's not even about what looks good here. It's about control.
Right.
And people think that if you're super thin, then you're really disciplined and you're really in control. And people kind of worship that. It's like, that's what people want you to be. And if you're somebody that's kind of like laxed in those areas, they just look at you like there's something gross or wrong with you.
Right.
But I don't think it's, that's where life is. I think life is being present, being able to, when you're with your friends, to not just have a salad with the dressing on the side and no fun on the salad.
Yeah.
It's really, it's celebration and being
with
friends.
Yeah, depriving yourself doesn't work, you know? I mean,
because
then you feel cheated and then you start eating on the side or in hiding.
Yeah. But I mean, I also it's just a balance in learning learning your body and learning how, for me, it's like, how much can I get away with?
Yeah.
Until I start seeing some weight put on. Okay, that's how much. Okay, that's where I need to stop.
Yeah.
That's for me.
That's
and I run a lot too. So
yeah, you see, a lot of people don't have that point, and they keep going and going and going, and then they become obese, you know? They don't have that, like, switch that they can turn on and off and say, you know what? Actually, you know, get up in the morning and go, you know what? I've let myself go too far. You know, I better do something about it.
It's been a blessing for me, and I say blessing because I feel like God has really given me a desire to want to work out. Like I don't always do it, but I really do love running, and it's not like there's times when I'm like, yeah, I have to run and this sucks, but for the most part, I get so much gratification from running.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it. It's hard ass work, don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes it's like, really, I decided to do this today. But it's so rewarding. Yeah. And so I want to respect that and go, wow, I worked really hard and I'm grateful for this and I don't want to abuse it. But at the same time, I'm definitely not going to not freaking, you know, enjoy some chips and salsa today. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm working this hard. I want to enjoy life.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I do some crazy workouts sometimes.
Yeah.
I really do.
But there's some great food out there. I can totally understand. You
I think it's a combination. Like, you know, freaking I'll eat a pizza when I'm running.
Yeah.
Just give it to me. Smack it in my
face.
There
you go.
No, but like for my house, I do this one workout where I run to this hike from my house to Runyon Canyon, which is about 2 miles. Okay. So just running there. And then I run up the canyon, which is about another, I want to say uphill. It's probably about another 1.5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, and it's hard. It's like that mile and
I'm
a half,
sure.
is, that mile and
I'm
a half sure. uphill or mile, 1 point something mile is so much harder than my straight run. So it's like probably about 3 miles. It feels like 3 miles.
Mm.
And I have to stop constantly to breathe because it's so hard. And then I do, then I walk downhill and then I run back.
Good.
So it's, I mean, it's, they're hard workouts. And, you know, I'll go with my roommates. They're like, oh, let's all go together. And, you know, they don't do those workouts.
Yeah.
My roommates. Now they work out hard too in their own way. Like they do a lot of dance classes and stuff like that. But they're not signing up to run. They're like, have fun. We'll meet you at the end, Kara.
Yeah, there you go.
I always go ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you're fortunate to like it, you know, because most people I don't think enjoy running, and thus they don't do it.
And I'm not saying running's the best or the answer for everything. I guess what I'm saying is I'm grateful I found something that I enjoy doing. Like people talk about going to the gym. I'm like, that just sounds like hell to me. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I've tried to do the gym thing. Even the classes are fun, but I just, it feels so clinical and sterile. I'm like, we live in Southern California. We live where there's mountains and you can go outside and even do, like yesterday, I didn't, or 2 days ago, I didn't have time to run, so I just went on a little walk and I did a bunch of lunges.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing lunges where there's flowers and there's these beautiful little homes and dogs are walking around, and I'm like, this is awesome, and my legs are still sore from it. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, my point is, all in all, I believe in eating and enjoying life.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, I mean, I'm getting up in age where I need to start watching what I eat and stuff, but I can't imagine not eating the stuff that I like, you know. And fortunately, what happens is, you know, I don't really gain that much weight because I don't eat much between meals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have like a couple meals a day and stuff, and then maybe a snack here or there. But so I'm still able to eat what I want. It's just I don't eat a lot of it, you know.
And I think that's the key. Like I've recently been eating pretty decadently because it seems like I went to, you know, in LA it's always a party. So my friend has her bachelorette party. We have a pre-party there. Then I went out on a few dates, had some pretty good meals. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of decadent. But the reality is, and this is funny because I get nervous eating around guys on dates. I don't like to be that girl, but I do. I do get nervous. I'm always like, oh. But it makes me naturally not that hungry. And I look like I don't eat that much. And I'm really like, oh, I got these people fooled because I'm just nervous, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like,
what's behind that? Why
I don't
do you
know.
Think?
I don't know what it is. And
You're embarrassed to eat in front of me.
I'm not embarrassed to, like, put it in my mouth and eat, but I feel nervous. And it makes me kind of feel like it takes me a while to feel comfortable. And then I'm like, hey, pass the salt and stuff. Yeah, you're going to eat all that. You know, it takes me a while to get to that point. I don't know why. I don't like it. I wish I was, you know. It's not debilitating.
Maybe it's the relationship you have with food, you know?
I don't know. I don't think I have an unhealthy relationship with
food.
No,
I didn't say it's unhealthy. I just said the nature of it, you
like,
know?
Like, it's just, it's a real, I do have a really happy relationship with food. Like, I look at it very... I guess what it is for me, it's good to talk this out because I think what I'm seeing is food to me is a shared experience. I would rather eat celery sticks on my own instead of going to a nice restaurant and not having somebody to share it with. Like some people, they'll eat really good food by themselves. To me, it's not fun.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait till my roommate Sarah comes and like, oh, let's go to Thai Patio, one of our favorite places. So good. And we'll do a throwdown. And it's fun. It's like a shared experience. I like to feed people and I like to share the food and taste each other's stuff and be like, and it's like a love. It's loving, you know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe I'm nervous because there's an intimacy with food.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a celebration and I'm kind of like, do I really, you know, want to have this, you know, it's kind of like that. It does feel, I think that's exactly what it is because last night we went to this really fun place and he totally like, He like ordered a few of these appetizers, and then he's like, okay, it's like she like fed me a couple bites. I was like, are you really doing this? Like he's the kind of guy that loves those things, and he loves food, and he likes it, you know. And so do I, but I'm like nervous because it's like intimate. Right. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's intimate. Don't you think food can be intimate?
Yeah, I think you have an intimacy issue. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Absolutely. I don't know if I want to be... I know I'll get there. I just don't know, like, in the beginning, I get nervous about being...
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting.
Is it?
You know, yeah.
I know, I'm sure I'm not the only person.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like...
Probably not, you know, but I mean, it is unusual. You know,
well, think about when you're eating, you're kind of vulnerable. You're eating, you could be... I'm pretty messy when I eat sometimes.
Yeah.
My friends all make fun of me and they love me and it's funny and cute to them. But when somebody doesn't really know you and you're kind of messy and shit's on your face.
So maybe it's like you need to be in control at all time, you know, not to seem vulnerable.
Yeah. It makes me kind of nervous because I'm like, oh God, okay. Aim for your mouth. You know, I, it's about being like messy when I eat, you know, being like really excited about eating and like getting into that celebratory attitude and maybe they're not there or maybe you don't know if you want to bond with them over it yet. I know it sounds like it's too serious over food, but it's just because I enjoy it so much that I think it's an intimate thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've also, you know, dated people that we've passed those stages where we're very comfortable and it's so fun.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm cooking this. Blah, blah, blah. We'll pick this up and then try it like this. Blah, 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 blah. And it's this awesome experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how you actually talk? Like da 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 da.
Every day.
That's what you say to each other.
Oh my gosh, the pizza! I drop it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like with CNN, and there's like this huge picture of some kind of a KFC concoction here, and it looks so fucking good. You know, it looks like two patties of chicken, and there's like cheese and bacon in between them. And some kind of sauce and stuff. And I don't know why this picture is like right in front of me. And I'm getting so friggin' hungry.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that. Your appetite, your morning appetite's coming.
Yeah, you see? Yeah.
You need
some kind of a stimulation, I guess, to eat in the morning.
You know, I understand because I think I haven't been drinking coffee that much.
Yeah.
And I've been eating more in the morning. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it makes sense. Yeah. Because we were just saying how it suppresses your appetite, you know?
I noticed that because I've been like, been really craving. It's been more breakfast that I'm craving. Like, I'm not that hungry around dinner or anything, but breakfast I'm like, okay, what do we got here? Okay, let's go pluck that chicken. Let's go make that bacon. And last night I came home and Sarah was grilling up some bacon. It was like freaking 11 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what are you doing? She's like, making bacon. I was like, what is your problem, girl? Okay, give me peace. No, I went straight to bed. Yeah. Yeah. So
did you go to sleep late?
I got home around 10:30.
Oh, okay.
And then I had a few glasses of wine, which always makes me sleepy.
Yeah.
So But he tried to kind of kiss me in the restaurant.
In the restaurant?
Kind of.
Was this like the second date or what?
This is like the third date.
The third date.
He kind of, not like a
kiss. Well, he was already feeding you, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
He
that
put
was
it,
the next
he
move.
Put his, like, he put his like head near my neck, and he like kind of nibbled my neck for a second. I was like, what are you doing?
But how, you were at the restaurant?
Uh-huh.
So how did he get to your neck across the
table?
No,
we were sitting right next to each other.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like da-da-da-da, nibble. I was like, did you really just do that? You just did that.
It amazes me how you can't just flow, you know?
No, I had fun. I wasn't
no,
like, disgusted.
Sure.
But
I'm
I was
sure.
like, it's a new thing. And for somebody to just kind of nibble. Have you ever done that to Dina? Like, you sit next to her and you're kind of being affectionate. And then you just kind of reach
time.
Over. You reach over you nip, in a restaurant and you nibble her.
No, I don't nibble.
Yeah. Like a little bite?
No.
Yeah.
No, nothing like that.
I was like, stick to
a
your
kiss,
own...
A kiss, a hug, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, stick to your own food, man.
Yeah.
I know I look juicy, but this I'm not edible. Right?
I suppose. I don't know. Oh, man, this is funny. Anyway.
And I hope he's not listening.
Yeah. I can't believe this. On YouTube now, there's some things where... you have to... Okay, let's see this. I'm gonna, what I want to do is I want to play some Chris Rock. And,
oh, man, I love
him. Sometimes I just get the urge to listen to him, you know?
He's just one funny dude.
Yeah. So this one's about love and relationships. Let's hear this one. I think that's a good one.
Anybody in this room that's ever been in love will testify to this shit. If you haven't contemplated murder, you ain't been in love. If you haven't seriously thought about killing a motherfucker, you ain't been in love. If you haven't had a can of rat poison in your hand and looked at it for 45 minutes straight, you ain't been in love. If you haven't bought a shovel and a bag and a rug to roll their ass up in, you ain't been in love. If you haven't practiced your alibi in front of the mirror, you ain't been in love. And the only thing that stopped you from killing this motherfucker was an episode of CSI. Oh, man, they thorough. I better make up. They might catch my ass. That's right, man. See, relationships are hard, man. But for order, for any relationship to work, both people have to be on the same page. Both people have to have the same focus. That's right. And we all know what that page is. We all know what that focus is. In order for the relationship to work, both people have to have the same focus. And what's that focus? The focus is all about her. It's all about her. She's already there, fellas. She's waiting for you to come aboard. Fellas, when you wake up in the morning, you should look yourself in the mirror and say, fuck you. Fuck your hopes, fuck your dreams, fuck your plans, fuck everything you thought this life was gonna bring you. Now let's go out there and try to make this bitch happen. Yes. It's all about her, fellas. Say yes to everything. Everything. Everything you could afford, say yes to. Just say yes. Before she even gets it out of her fucking mouth. Honey, can yes. Honey, I want a yes. Honey, how about yes? Let's get a stamp. Yes, 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 yes. Another thing, fellas, don't argue. You cannot win. You cannot beat a woman in an argument. It's impossible. You will not win. Because men, we are handicapped when it comes to arguing. Because we have a need to make sense. Women ain't gonna let a little thing like sense fuck up their argument. Because she's not in it for sense. She's in it for distance and irritation. How long can I talk before this motherfucker snaps? They want you to shake the shit out of them. Do you hear the cops coming? Motherfucker, I'm serious. Motherfucker, what the fuck? Oh, shit, let me get the fuck out. That's right. And like I said, try your best to make her happy. Try your best. But here's one thing nobody tells you. You can't make a woman happy. It's impossible. I've never met a happy woman in my life. Women always complaining about something. Shit, women like to complain. Women save up shit to complain about. Oh, he don't even know I know, but I'm gonna get his ass on that shit next month. They like fucking complaining. They love it. No matter what you do, she'll be mad. You can fuck a woman with a diamond dick and make her come 10 times. She'll still complain. Why you make me come so hard? This diamond dick is cloudy. Why don't you go to Tiffany's? You're so fucking cheap. No matter what you do, your woman is mad at you. If you work all the time, why you work all the time? You ain't never home. You always leaving me. I hate this shit. If you home all the time, why you all up under me? Let me get some fucking room to breathe. Damn, stop sweating me. I hate this shit. If you make more money than her, well, fuck you. I want to make decisions too. You ain't my fucking daddy. I don't need you to take care of me. I hate this shit. If she makes more money than you, you broke motherfucker. You never have no fucking money. fuck this shit. I don't want to make all these decisions. I need to be taken care of. I hate this shit. I can't take it. And the number one reason your woman's always mad, fellas, the number one reason your woman is pissed the fuck off, because you ain't her first choice. Fellas, you ever catch your woman just looking at you, but not saying nothing? In her mind, she's thinking, how did I end up with this ugly motherfucker? Oh, Lord, this motherfucker's ugly and stupid. I had a good man and I blew it. Damn, Lord, kill my man. Kill him, please. Kill him while I still look good enough to get something new. Please kill this motherfucker now. Strike him. Strike him. If you out there, Lord, strike this motherfucker dead.
Oh, I can't handle that. That was freaking classic.
He is, yeah. I mean, he captures the human experience like no one does.
Oh, my God. You know, and he's making some good points.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how well that was done so well. It's funny because I actually just saw it for the first time. Was it Bigger Blacker? Is the name of that? I think it's the name of the
his movie.
That DVD where that his stand up I think is Bigger Blacker is the name of it. I don't know for sure. I think so, but he is freaking hysterical clearly, and I just like comedians that are funny. They're not oppressive.
Right.
It's still so it like hurts your stomach funny.
Yeah.
And I definitely think he's one of those guys that can do that.
Yeah. There's not that many people left that can do that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I agree. I don't mean as many people, but just so gut-wrenching funny. And on top of that, he's making sense. He's saying something.
Yeah.
He's saying something, and it's funny. It's
yeah,
kind of like
about men and women. I mean, it's true, you know? A lot of these things are true. And that's why people laugh so hard, you know, because it touches.
Because you know, people are or have fallen into, you know, the complaining trap and just so dissatisfied with their own life that they've got to make sure you're just as miserable.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've lived with that. I've seen that with family members and, you know, people are just not happy.
Yeah.
That is so funny though. You ain't never been in love unless you stared at a can of rat poisoning for 45 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
oh,
got
man.
One of the biggest liar men or women. Let's listen to that one and see what that one's about.
That's right. Who's the biggest liars? Men or women?
Men!
Men lie the most, women tell the biggest lie. Men, we lie all the time. We lie so much it's damn near language. That's right. Lying is like playing basketball with a retarded kid and calling him for double dribble. You gotta let some shit slide. You just gotta let some shit slide. Man, we lie all the time. We lie all the time. You know what a man's lie is like? A man's lie is like, I was at Tony's house. I'm at Kenny's house. That's a man's lie. A woman's lie is like, it's your baby. Oh, he's got your hat. That's right. Who's the biggest liars? Women the biggest liars. Biggest liars. Look at you. All of you. You're lying. You're a fucking liar. You're all liars. All of you fucking liars. Masters of the lie. The visual lie. Look at you. You got on heels. You ain't that tall. So crazy. Every now and then we catch ourselves living a lie. We create a whole lie world around us. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Every man in in here got a pornography stash in the crib. Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by. And when we hot porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator or under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide some porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. You go down two flights of stairs into your porno cellar. Janet Jackme, yes. Toby Kai, Gina Jameson, that's right. But women always find the porno. Always find the porno. But they don't find it in the porno hiding place. Oh, no, no. Where do women find the porno at? In the VCR.
The VCR.
That's so true. Yeah. My brother, my freaking little brother.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he's in his 20s, but whatever. I went to his house and stayed with him, what was it? I guess over Christmas a year ago. Mm-hmm. And was in his room or his bathroom looking for something. And I saw, like, some nasty crap, man. Some freaking nasty shit. I was like, what is this? And I was pissed. Mm-hmm. I took it, threw it away. Yelled at him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, tried to make him feel like a horrible person. Didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that he probably, that was just... He probably has a bunch of that to replace it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was like, what? It's just gross when it's your brother.
Yeah.
You're like, you're looking at vaginas? You're looking at vaginas, Matthew?
Yeah. What's like, wrong with that?
It just, there's just something weird and violating. You're like, you're looking at straight up vagina pictures, all mm-hmm. vagina'd out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know. And you're looking at
it's
it up.
It's fun.
I get it.
I know.
But my point is you're here, that's your brother and your sister and you've got a vagina. I've got a vagina.
Right.
And my brother's looking at him. Yeah. It's just gross to me. I'm just like, that's so disgusting.
Yeah.
But he has a girlfriend now and they, you know, they're really close. They're probably gonna get married. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. But
everybody looks at porn.
Whatever. I don't think every single person does, but it is very rampant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I have to put out a quick fire, so we'll take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
right. Enough gay Eurotrash rock. Let's get back to Sam and Kara in the morning. Kara in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, I thought there'd be some music.
Da 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 da. Intro music for you.
Yeah, so check out this headline. DA says to teachers, new sex education course could get you arrested.
What?
Yeah. So check this out. A district attorney in Juneau County, Wisconsin, warned teacher in a memo sent to schools that if they teach the new sexual education curriculum mandated under state law, they could be arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a child. Because the law requires teachers to instruct children not only about contraceptives, but how to use them, the Juneau County District Attorney said that the schools are forced to encourage students to engage in sexual behavior, whether as a victim or an offender. And since minors can't legally have sex in Wisconsin, teachers would essentially be endorsing the behavior and could be held liable. Okay?
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, he says it's akin to teaching children about alcohol use, then instructing them how to make mixed alcoholic drinks.
So, this sounds like all different levels of screwed up. Hold on. So I'm looking at the same thing. So right now it says the law, okay, requires teachers to instruct children not only about contraceptives, but how to use them.
Right.
Okay. So they're saying, obviously you got to tell people about it and then how it works, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. But then the district attorney said schools are forced to encourage students to engage
right.
in sexual behavior, whether as a victim or as an offender?
Right.
I don't understand that sentence.
What they're saying, with the victim or the offender.
Yeah, like what are they saying? Because then it goes, and since minors can't legally have sex in Wisconsin, teachers would essentially be endorsing the behavior and could be held liable. Which, that actually does make sense to me, that sentence. But I don't understand engage in sexual behavior. Like,
yeah.
Like, are they just saying that, okay, because I find this a little confusing. Are they saying that the sex education course is to educate students about contraceptives and how to use them? And
right.
they're saying because they're educating them,
they're encouraging them to have sex.
Yeah. Or as
and
part
it's illegal to have sex.
And then it's illegal to have sex as a minor.
Right.
Oh, that kind of makes sense, though. Does like, it? How do you expect to educate them on contraceptives if you don't tell them how to use it?
Exactly.
Which is
and
stupid.
And that's the thing is that,
and then
you know,
if the whole
bullshit about encouraging, you know, I mean, that's, they're going to do it anyway if they want to. You might as well show them how to prevent pregnancy, you know?
I feel like it's a real double-edged sword. It's like so many things. You do one thing to help this problem, but then it causes other problems.
Right.
Like affirmative action, we needed it to help help one problem, but then it causes other problems.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. it's kind of one of these situations, like, you know, same thing with welfare or whatever. It's like there's so many things that we needed, but yet they had adverse reactions, you know, and consequences to them as
right.
well. And I think sex education in schools is the same thing. It's like we need young people to be educated about the
right.
risks, about their bodies. At the same time, you know, we don't need to be encouraging students that it's okay and they have a right to go be having sex just because.
But I don't think it's encouraging. You know, I think it's saying, look, if you're
passing out condoms to everyone just because you're just passing out condoms in the class.
Yeah, it doesn't encourage. I think what it does.
No, when you give everybody. No, listen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't agree with the intention.
Right.
Okay, but I'm saying let's look at the other side of it. You've got a classroom full of kids and everybody gets a condom and they walk out with their condom.
Mm-hmm.
What is that saying to people that aren't sexually active in a way?
Nothing.
No, it's not true, because I remember how I felt growing up. It was like a sense of like, oh, this is what we do now. This is kind of like the next
right.
step. This is
okay,
the stage.
Okay, now let me ask you this. So you're saying you prefer to have them get pregnant?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are adverse reactions that can happen too. So I understand the divide here. I understand you don't want to live in the dark ages. You want kids to know about their bodies and about the different factors involved and the risks with sex.
Right.
And I agree with that. However, is it, there are other adverse reactions that happened that now it's become normalized to be sexually active at a certain age. Believe it or not, a lot of students, they're not necessarily ready for that, and they're not looking to be sexually active. But because of society, because of the media, because of even now, yes, the education with that does come with schools, they kind of accept it as though this is the next stage for me, and I guess this is what I should be doing. And I've seen that firsthand mm-hmm. when I was in school. But I have to say, I don't know what the answer is. You know, right. I'm with you. I don't think we live in the dark ages. We should be able to educate. However, do I really believe that it's the government's job to educate my kids about mm-hmm. sex? And I'm saying that as if I were, you know, had right. kids in the school system, mm-hmm. but that's my point. Do I really believe that it's the school's job to get to teach my kid mm-hmm. about sex?
Right.
I don't think that that's the rightful place for
it. Would you teach your kids about
Absolutely.
Sex?
Absolutely.
Okay, but many people can't.
I know that's the sad part, right? It's like parents not doing
with it.
Well, parents not doing their job, then we have this social program, or we have social program, but we now have sex education in schools. To teach them, and it's because sex isn't just biological. There's a lot of different beliefs for people that go into it, and now you're touching against those things whether you like it or not.
Right.
And I feel like it's a real double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this: if you had your kid and you gave him sex education, what would you tell them? I mean, would you tell them what a condom is?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's what
I would
I'm saying,
do it in a different.
Know?
I would do it in a way. I would do it in a different kind of way and a different stage. Again, I've never had kids, but I'm thinking, you know, you have the kids, you have the talk with the kids when they're really young about the birds and the bees, right? Your basic stuff. And then you kind of keep tapping in with them, and you teach them, you not only teach them about the biological stuff, but you start teaching them about, the bodies, and then you talk about, I would go into like the spiritual element of things and the emotional element of things, and also talk about helping their minds at that age to kind of understand a respect for sex and kind of understand, why does mom and dad want to protect you from this right now, and we want you to make these kind of choices. Why do we do that? Like getting them thinking, getting them wondering, to get an awareness on their own, to help them to see that there are things that are better when they have the ability to make those long-term decisions.
Right.
And I think that that's being part of being a parent, is protecting your kid, because they
absolutely.
Even,
but you can't overshelter them, because.
But I don't think that's
over. There,
that's not
know?
What I'm saying. It's not oversheltering. Yeah. What I'm saying is I'm gonna give them the tools and do it in a way of according to my beliefs mm-hmm. and how I want to raise my kid, and doing it in a way that they will have awareness, but it won't just be from a biological, social, this is the next step in your life. It'll be biological, and it'll also be from an emotional and spiritual standpoint, that they can have a holistic look and help them to see what I believe will be the best choice for them is abstinence.
Right.
But you know, they're going to have to make that decision. I do respect choice. But also they show in the brain, like, that the part of the brain that can make and understand long-term decisions, like long-term consequences, is not even developed until you're in your 20s.
Mm.
So when you give kids these kind of these tools that they don't exactly know the long-term effect, and it's not that they're idiots, but they're not thinking past when's lunch and when's the next prom or whatever. They're not thinking. And I just think that I don't agree with the dark ages. I'm totally with you. Like, we need to be able to have resources there for kids,
mm-hmm.
and they need to have education. But I think that maybe the way it's administered sometimes is negative. Can have a lot of negative effects.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a weird situation too.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is.
What
I
do
mean,
you think?
There's a dilemma there. I don't know. But they're going to have to adjust the law if they want to continue doing the sex education thing. You know.
Hmm.
So, have you seen the Apple iPad yet?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've heard it's so funny. As Johnny yesterday on the show said, the Apple iPad. He goes, I'm waiting for the one with wings.
Yeah.
It took me a second to get that, and I, you know, I'm a girl. It took me. Did you get it?
Oh yeah, the iPad. Yeah, like a sanitary pad type of a
sanitary
thing.
Sanitary pad, like a maxi pad. Yeah.
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 That has the wings.
Yeah, it took me a second to get that. Yeah. I was like, oh. Yeah, yeah, I was like delayed laugh with that one. But no, that was funny. Yeah. I mean, we were looking at it the other day, and you said that they're just raking in the sales. That they're doing amazing with it.
They really are. But believe it or not, they're still lower than what people expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
But I ran into someone yesterday who actually bought one, and I looked at it, held it. It's a pretty cool thing, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's about a little bigger than a book, mm-hmm. you know, and in the size, like a hardcover.
Is it a phone, too?
I don't know. I don't think so. How can you call from something like that?
Well, I know it's a little archaic, enough. But my point is the whole idea is that they're putting together this force.
Right.
That has everything that you're going to need. Well, that's at least what I thought it was about.
Right.
And so you can consolidate your phone, your laptop, and you can consolidate the texting, and everything's now in this.
Yeah. This, possible.
But I don't know if that's. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. But already they're offering a fix for the Wi-Fi part of this. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So that's what happens when you buy something that just comes out, you know. And the thing is, another thing is, if you remember with the iPhone and stuff, they went and 6 months later reduced the price by 30% or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people that bought it before were like up in arms, you know. What do you mean? We just pay this. But that's the price you pay for being an early adopter, you know.
That's true.
You know, you have to deal with the bugs and pay top dollar and, yeah.
Okay, so I think it may be a phone. It's saying right here, interesting, the iPad also has mobile phone functionality.
Oh, okay.
There is a micro SIM card slot ready for you to insert. So apparently you can use it as a phone. I don't know how that looks.
Yeah,
to hold the whole thing. You said it's like a little bit bigger than a book.
But maybe it just uses like a speaker phone or something.
Speaker, I think they also have... they also have where you can, I think, video on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do video phone.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people use their Bluetooth as well, so maybe their Bluetooth can connect to
that. That's true, yeah.
Can connect to it.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty interesting stuff. It's just I don't know what I would do with it if I bought one. You know, I mean, everything that I need is on my laptop, which is with me all the time. So, yeah, it's a cool thing for some people, but I don't know that for most people it would... I don't think it's going to be as hot as the iPhone by any means.
No, you think the iPhone's kind of...
Yeah,
kind of
the iPhone is a phone, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
It's totally... I mean, the iPad is just an enlarged iPhone. That's pretty much what it is. It even looks the same.
And they've just said that people are a little underwhelmed. Like, it's cool, it's great, it's kind of new and flashy, but it's still a little bit not quite...
Yeah.
Is beefed up. They're like, but it doesn't make me French fries. It doesn't clean my house.
Yeah.
It's just...
Most people are like Apple, you know, big fans of Apple, I'm sure, that went out and bought this. And, but yeah, they're saying already that it has trouble connecting to the internet.
Well, and that's my friends. They had a major problem with their iPhone, and they love the iPhone. But because of, and they called AT&T. They went all over, around and around with AT&T. And AT&T is like, look, man, we're doing our end of the job, but they're like, I can't even call.
Right.
And then it come to find out it's really not the service, it's the fact that there's so much crammed into this thing.
Right.
That it makes for a bad phone, basically.
Yeah.
So it's got all these different functions that are awesome, but as far as, you know, ability to you know, use it as a basic phone,
right.
It's just jammed.
Yeah.
It's just jam-packed with info. So, So in a way, I mean, AT&T is kind of like, apart from the iPhone, they're a great phone service, I guess. But with the iPhone, the technology in the phone, you know, really hinders the capability of the phone.
Yeah.
And functioning really well.
Yeah, but I'm also surprised that, you know, it became successful, because usually when you take something and you put a lot of different things into it, it doesn't really work. You know, I mean, they used to have the Apple came out with a product called the Newton. And that was kind of like a personal assistant type of a thing, but it never caught on, you know. And it went,
the Newton?
Yeah.
The was it back in like, what, the 80s or something?
Yeah, something like that, 80s or 90s. And it never took off, you know. So, and that was something similar. But I think once they added a phone to it, it made a whole lot of difference, you know. And it's very revolutionary, you know, with the touch screen and, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the iPhone. You know, it's pretty cool, although I don't use most features. You know?
Yeah.
It looks cool, and it's got the visual messages, and yeah.
Mm.
You know.
So, are you going to be going out anytime soon and buying it?
No, no, I'm not. I'm not. Actually, I didn't want to bring up something, and that is my my daughter finally got approved for Birthright, which is a program for Jewish kids around the world to fly to Israel for a little vacation to get them to maybe immigrate there.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I didn't. What is that? That's so interesting. So if you're born Jewish.
Yeah. So if you're Jewish, what they will do is they will pay for your ticket and lodging and everything in Israel for about 10 days.
Wow. Mm.
So it's really cool. And she's going to be 20 in a couple months, and she hasn't been back there, you know, ever. So, and considering I'm from there, then, you know, it's long overdue.
And is Dina from Israel too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm actually thinking of going there as well when she's there.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. Does she,
yeah.
Know, does she know you want to do it?
Yeah, I told her yesterday, and she was actually ecstatic about it. Considering that we haven't really had any kind of relationship for the past couple of years, things are improving. And I'm thinking I should definitely go if this is an opportunity to be alone with my daughter for a while. You
that's
know?
So sweet, Sam.
Yeah.
Go be
she'll
a sweet
dad. She'll
get
to see my parents and that, you know. So, I mean, my parents haven't seen her in years, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and they practically helped raise her.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Birthright is, it's like the country has decided that this is something that they want to extend to Jews
right,
all over the
they
world?
Want, yeah, because that's the thing is that, you know, Israel is the place for the Jews, you know, to feel safe and everything. So they want to increase the population. And, you know, every Jew gets an automatic citizenship in Israel.
Oh,
if they
okay.
want to come. And they get like a whole basket of benefits and stuff, you know, and... yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when they opened up immigration from Russia, you started having, like, floods of people from there, but also people that are not Jewish that faked it so they can come and enjoy the benefits and stuff.
Do they get caught?
Yeah, many of them do, and many don't, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, like, I think it's one of those things where it's like there's so many different... looks to being Jewish, right? There's so many different, some people are more European looking, some are a little
right.
more Middle Eastern
right.
looking. And so could you easily kind of could fake that you're Jewish? Even if you don't look like...
Not really, no.
No?
Not, oh, yeah, you can fake it with papers and everything. You know, I mean,
yeah.
remember, they came from Russia, so things were not as tidy as they are in the West, you know? So they, you know, they would just get fake passports, fake birth certificates, whatever it took, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now many of them became prostitutes, you know, many of the women that immigrated.
Really?
Yeah. It's easy money.
That's all? I mean, they immigrated from... They immigrated to Israel
from Russia.
For the benefits, which would be, I guess, I'm assuming health care or something like that, right?
Right, yeah, and, you know, housing probably and
okay, so,
loans.
And then they start...
And,
prostituting?
And some of them, yeah, some of them become prostitutes. Yeah, but those Russians are hot, let me tell you. They're pretty hot stuff.
That's awful.
Did you
though.
Hear about the mail order brides they have, you know, with Russian women and
oh, yeah,
Asian women?
Well, that's what my roommate Sarah, she did this whole funny sketch about, her name is Daja, mail order bride. Yeah, I love fashion. I'm unbelievable. Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
We'll have to have her do it for you. She does the voice amazing. But she does this girl that's straight from Russia. Yeah, and wants to have a party, you know, start her own show. And, but yeah, she went to tons of these sites and looked at it to get material. She's like,
right.
they're a little bit behind on the fashion. So they're kind of, everything's over the top, but that's kind of out of date.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to basically sell themselves in a way that they're super sexy, but that they're like, yeah, I like to clean. I like reading good books.
Yeah, you know,
I like reading good books.
That's what men look for, you know.
I like sex 3 times a day. I like to clean and read a good book.
Yeah.
And work on my English and make men very happy. Like,
yeah,
and then,
I wonder how much of it is really true, you know?
It's not, none of it's freaking true.
You
she's
don't
just,
think
she's
so?
Just like, please get me the hell out of here and feed me.
Yeah.
She's like, Russia's cold. I don't like the freaking mafia, you know, government we got going on. I really want a better life.
But you think there are real people behind that, right?
I don't know, I mean probably there's some, it's all probably, I mean there's probably some women, I don't know this, but I everything on the internet's you don't know, it's all image. But I mean, when you order this, I mean, that's funny to order a bride, but how does that work? I mean, you call up, I'm gonna take Daja.
Right. So Daja. You pay, I think you pay the expenses to bring her here, and then you meet.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you get married, she's gonna get citizenship here.
Okay, so you don't pre-marry. Okay.
That's why they do it.
And you don't pre-marry, like pre-marry them and then ships your bride out.
Maybe you do, but I can't imagine that you wouldn't want to see her first.
Yeah. Well, what if you don't have chemistry, or what if you know,
she just goes back.
Like, what if she's not the model that you wanted, and they shipped you the wrong model? I mean, or can she leave when she gets here and just be like, claim, you know, exile or whatever it is? You know, when they were like...
Amnesty?
Amnesty,
no, they don't have that because Russia is open now, you know?
Oh, well...
Yeah. It's not like you can't leave like it used to be.
Yeah, I know, you're right. But isn't
But everybody wants to come to the United States.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be in America, and they'll do whatever it takes. And some of them marry Americans to get the green card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but once they get here, let's say they ditch the guy because he's short, and even though he's rich.
Well, I wouldn't suggest for them to do that before they get their papers, but after that, I suppose they could.
Like get their green card?
Yeah. Mm. Once they get the green card, they could ditch.
Well, they got to be married for a while to get that.
Yeah.
So she just can't get off the plane and be like, I'm going to go to Vegas.
No, they can. They can. They can come on a tourist visa or something.
On a tourist visa. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, but then it's going to expire. So because they don't have amnesty, so they can't just.
Yeah, there's no amnesty, you know, for countries like that, you know. Like for Cubans, there would be, you know, North Koreans maybe.
I met some Cubans when I was working in sales, and they were telling me how awful it is and that people don't realize how awful it is.
In Cuba?
Yeah, she said because it's beautiful and there's all these hotels and there's all this real estate.
Right.
And she goes, Cuba's own people can't even stay there. Like, even if you have the money, they won't let you stay there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And basically just everything's so controlled and dominated that there's no freedom.
Yeah.
And
communism is just so backward, you know, and eventually it has to explode. You know, I think once Castro leaves, there could be...
That guy's been living forever, right?
I know, I mean, I know. But there could be some kind of a revolution, you know? I don't think these people enjoy living like that.
They don't. I mean, I know it's just like a lifelong debate about these... But I feel that socialism is just as dangerous in a way. It's disguised as humanitarian, and it's disguised as like, oh, every you know, utopia for the people, and people are like, yeah, sounds great.
Right.
And I think the moment that citizens start saying, take care of me, you start giving up your rights.
Right.
And I find that to be just as big of a threat as well. It's more of one of those longer term, kind of takes longer to wedge itself in and then kind of become in the fabric and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, you know, I look at stuff spiritually, and I think that ultimately God, you know, God wants to reign in our hearts. Mm-hmm. God isn't here with an iron fist and telling you what to believe. We all have the opportunity to believe or not believe what we want, right?
Right.
And the concept that, you know, you can worship what you want and I worship what I want, or whatever we don't want, there's something about that choice that I think is very godly. Even if it doesn't involve God, the choice part is God, because God wants real love and real sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
He wants, just like with your lover, you know, Dina, you want her to really love you and really choose you. You're not going to force her, right?
Right.
So I think...
Well, maybe in my case I would. Because I'm hard to love.
You're going to love me, damn it. But I think that the choice part is really, really godly. Like, because God is, I feel like God really respects choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into government. And I think that some people, they don't want to have a personal relationship with God. They don't want to have to govern their own life. They want somebody to think for them and tell them what to do.
Right.
And people do it with religion. They do it with tons of different things. But I also think government's kind of another thing where people want government to... Do it for me. Take care of me.
Right.
Be my God, you know?
Yeah, that's probably the case with the healthcare bill.
I just feel like, I mean, if healthcare, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but it's like, does healthcare need reformation? Absolutely, in this country. And I think there's a lot of different things we could have already done to remedy it. Yeah. But I think what's being proposed, there's a mandate part of it where people are forced to...
It brings too much of socialism for me, you know?
Yeah, it takes away other people's choices. It takes away choices, and I think it's a way to maybe not right off the bat, but, you know, control... Have governmental control, and I don't believe in statism. I don't believe that the government is the reign. It should be for the people, you know, by the people.
Right.
And not the government controls your life and tells you what you can be and what occupation you can have now because of your health care. Like your health care is and your medical is confidential right now. It's confidential. Whereas it's going to be where the
supposedly.
That's the idea. And then the government knowing your health will could lead. It to what the kind of jobs you can take now. Because you got to think about rights and responsibilities, you know, which is an interesting concept when it comes to healthcare. If somebody eats poorly, and if somebody is a smoker or whatever it is, you know, whatever the ailment is, and then they come down with, you know, some really bad, just basically bad health, and they've got to have all these different, you know, whatever, they get lung cancer, whatever it is, and I'm talking about preventable stuff that's caused by lifestyle. Well, they have the right to smoke.
Right.
They have the right to eat what they want. But then when they get sick, it's now everyone else's responsibility to pay for it.
Right.
You know, that's something that's something like you have the right, and I can't tell you who to have sex with and how to have sex and if you should use protection, right? You have the right to do what you want. But then if you get a disease, now it's our responsibility to take care of you.
Right.
And I think that concept I don't agree with. However, I do agree with people that, you know, that the kind of ailments that people can't help or the kind of things that aren't because of negligent lifestyles or whatever.
Right.
It's just because, you know, they were born this way or you know, some cancers, it's just, you know, it's not like because you had this bad lifestyle, it's stuff that's, you know, the stuff, I mean, I just think that there needs to be a redistribution of how, because people look at healthcare, is it a right or is it a privilege?
Right.
You know, and people want to say, well, it's a right. Everybody should have a right.
Yeah.
And I buy into that a little bit. I do. But then I also go, well, then if it's a right, it can't be someone else's responsibility.
Yeah.
But you
pay into it as well. It's not just somebody else, you know. Mm-hmm. When you're saying we pay for it, that person... at least is supposed to pay for it as well.
Well, and I guess the concept of what I'm saying is I just think kind of the healthcare bill that they're proposing is I think we should focus on the vulnerable citizens, the ones that can't afford healthcare, the ones that they can't provide for themselves in those in those capacities aren't able to, as opposed to making all Americans buy into it.
Right.
And that's the part where we kind of touched on it, where it's like I don't agree with that. It's like taking an unpayable debt basically. Like this is a tax on Americans that is unpayable.
Right.
And you know, we've already, since Obama's been in office, have already tripled the deficit, almost quadrupled it. And this is and this is something.
You read that.
Yeah, and this is something that you know, people are just going, oh, it sounds great, but it's like, wait a minute, how are we gonna, we're gonna make people that don't need this health care have to buy into it,
right.
Or they're gonna be penalized.
Yeah.
And it's like, focus on the ones that need it. Focus on, you know, the vulnerable citizens that can't afford it.
Right.
I think that would be a financially more responsible.
Right.
But so that's why I wonder how much of it is about provision for Americans and how much of it is about...
Like you said, you know, people want things done for them and take care of me and, and do this for me, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they're not getting the big picture.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that... I just think it's good to talk about it and bring it up. And I know that not everybody agrees with me, that's for sure. But I agree with me.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm my biggest fan. I don't know. Have you thought about it? What do you think?
Well, actually, I'm concerned about these miners. Did you hear them trapped in a mine in West Virginia?
No.
Yeah, there's a few of them down there, and there's no signs of life. That's pretty scary stuff. You're under the ground, deep.
They're there working, and they were trapped.
Yeah, they were trapped. And I guess they're trying to drill holes and make sounds to try and communicate with them, but they're getting nothing back.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have they been down there?
I don't know, since yesterday, I think.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's like, what do you do with, in those situations? I mean, you just keep drilling, huh? But you don't want to crush them?
I don't know if you can get to them, that is, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about it. If something collapses down there, you may not be able to make it there for days, you know, to get down there again.
You said it was in Virginia?
West Virginia.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Man, that just sounds, it just sounds really...
Okay, at least 25 miners.
25?
Right.
Wow.
So there was an explosion, I guess. Wow.
Wow, that's just, that's sad.
Yeah. All right, well, at any rate, our thoughts go out to them and their families. What can I say, you know? It's a sad way to die, man. Pretty scary shit. All right, Kira. This is it for today.
Well, I'm sad.
Are you done with your breakfast there?
Yeah, it was okay.
You had two hours to eat it, so that should be pretty good. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.